glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just get, there you go. That's like an Energizer Bunny hit. There you go. Just zap. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for this offering. We thank you, Father, for all the hearts that can participate, Father. I thank you, Father, for every hand that gives, Father. And Lord, we just release your bountiful blessing upon the hearts of the people, upon the lives of the people, upon the families, Father. Oh, they're all represented here, and we give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Shokora da da bi ishi andala moko. Bandi, hallelujah, Lord. They shall know my disciples by their mighty works. They shall know my disciples by the big long car they drive. They shall know my disciples by what? The love. They shall know my disciples by the love one for another. Hallelujah. By their love one for another. You know, there was something that we just did earlier. It was just when the Lord was just speaking and he was showing, we were playing the beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. You know, there was something that he just had been stirring in me when and that is he's just so beautiful. Just go with me for just a moment, Lord Jesus. You're so beautiful. You're beautiful in your humility, Lord. You're beautiful in your love. You're beautiful, Lord, in your righteousness. You're beautiful in your peace. Lord Jesus, you're beautiful in your goodness and in your grace. You're beautiful in your majesty. You're beautiful, Lord, as my shepherd. You're beautiful as my lamb. You're beautiful as the rock, the one who shelters over me. Lord, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. See, when we begin to just behold him, when we begin to behold him, something shifts. See, you feel that shift in the atmosphere. When you just allow him to, as you behold him, you're allowing the shift to happen. And as we behold him by the word, see, all we were doing was just taking known scriptures and putting it into an image that we're creating. This is what we're talking about, coming into the love of God, coming into the rest of God. It is as simple as allowing the scripture to paint an image within your heart and begin to confess and reflect on that image. Because as you confess and reflect on that image, there's something that shifts inside of you. And suddenly that which starts out as just being something that you're doing out of your own soul becomes something that just transcends into spirit. I was talking with Mike the other day and I said it this way, that there's a moment, see, of transition where you were initially the initiator of what was going on. But all of a sudden you shift and you become the responder. Because the word has now come alive in you. As it comes alive in you, it now begins to have a reverence and a holiness all of its own. But you're very aware, you're no longer driving this thing. He's driving it. He's the one who's taking it where it needs to go. He's the one who takes you in and draws you in even further and even closer in those moments as you just begin to behold him. As LaRue was saying earlier, the question, and I was going to have Penny to share, but I'll just share it for her. The question had come up because she was brave enough to share it and ask. It's like, well, and say basically this is that, well, this is good for you guys, but what about us? Maybe we can't ever catch up. Maybe we can't get to that place. But see, the reality is that's just what the enemy wants us to think. That's just what the enemy has gone out there, and he goes out of his way to convince us. The reality is that it's just as simple. The coming into his love is just as simple as any other thing that you've ever done. Once you learn and work and begin to allow the tools that you turn to begin to have their way with you. There's a yielding that has to take place. But in that yielding, that really is the only part that we're responsible for. We have to yield to it. See, I can sit there and I can say the words, but if I don't yield to it, it doesn't help me. I got to yield to what he's sharing. I got to yield to the word that he's given to me. I've got to yield to it. And as I stand there and as I yield to that word, I can begin to inhabit the word. And then the word inhabits me. Go with me to Matthew 20. This is kind of, you know, pretty frequent scripture in the old days. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard." So everybody's getting paid a penny here. "And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to those, 'You too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' And so they went. And he went about on the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing by them, and he said to them, 'Why have you been standing out here idle all day long?' And he said to them, 'Because no one was hired us.' And he said to them, 'You too go into the vineyard.' And when evening had come, the owner of the land vineyard said this to his foreman. He said, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first.' And those who were hired in the 11th hour came, and each one received a denarius." Each one received what the first ones were offered. "And when those who had hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but they also received one denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner and saying, 'These last have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day.' But he answered to him and said, 'Friend, I'm doing wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Taking what is yours and go your way, but I wish to give this last man the same as you. For is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall become first and the first shall become last." The last shall become first and the first shall become last. Hallelujah. If we were in a more traditional church, and we'd say, "So ends the reading of the word," or something like that. But anyway, they actually do that. But the whole point of this is that what we're doing here is we're forming something that is new and has not been done. It is not, it is something that God is working out in us. It's something that is going to change the nature of how church is done. It's going to change the nature of how believers come into a relationship with a living God. It's going to change the nature of how Christianity is seen and viewed, because once again, we will become a people who are known what? For their love one for another. We're going to become a people because why? Because we come into a place where we're not just talking about love. We're not just making a mental ascent to love. What we're actually doing is beginning to live love. Because when we live love, we can have an impact. When we live love, things change. When we live love, my response is not the same. When I live love, all of a sudden my response now comes out of a place of love and not out of the place of my old past history, my old past hurts, or all the other garbage and junk that we've carried around. Why? Because love will begin to eradicate. Say eradicate. Eradicate those things. Love will begin to change those things, and it begins to create a new image within us. The image within us of Christ begins to be made manifest in our heart and in our soul. And it's made manifest. Why? Because of the version of love. And what I'm saying here is that this, if those who are first become last, and those who are last will become first, then not everybody has to labor the same way, because this is not a kingdom of works. It's a kingdom of grace. There's a grace that we have to enter into. When we enter into this grace, the grace will assign us our place in the hours. So some of those people went out at 6 o'clock in the morning and they worked until 6 o'clock at night. That's LaRue. That's his job. Okay. Everybody give him a big hand. Thank you for going out at 6 o'clock. Some of us are going to go in at 9 o'clock in the morning. Some of us are going to go in at noon. And somebody's going to get to come in at 5 o'clock. Somebody, there we go. Penny's grabbing it. So the rest of you better, you gotta hurry up, because she's going to grab all of it. Some of us are going to come in at 5 o'clock and only work the 1 hour. What does he say? What am I saying? What I'm saying is that as we do this, we're creating a corporate atmosphere where it gets easier and easier for us to enter into it. It gets easier and easier. There's a manifestation of the Spirit that is being added to. There's a grace of the Spirit that has been released to make this happen for everybody. The only choice, the choice is not whether or not I can get there. The choice is whether or not I want to get there. Because see, it will require that you make a choice. It will require that you choose it. God always makes you choose Him. You have to choose to want Him. You have to choose to enter into this. You have to make a choice. But if you'll make a choice, He'll make it possible. It's not a matter of why. It's just a matter of I'm going to stand and do it. And Lord, I promise you, I'm going to give you my effort, Lord. I'm going to put my effort into it. But Lord, I know that it's by faith that it happens. It can only happen. It happens by faith because we made a choice. Romans 3:28 says, what does it exactly say? We'll turn with me there real quick. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And my question for you is this. Have you been saved? Do you know, have you experienced salvation in your life? If you have, please raise your hand. If you're not, please see me after the service. But if you have been saved, you already know and have already experienced what it takes to enter into the Father. Because it's by faith. The same way that you accepted your salvation, there is no working it out. There is no effort of your part that can get you to the place of salvation. It can't be done. It can only happen by faith. And by faith, it is the way. And faith comes, and faith enters us into the grace. Faith enters us in. Look, I'll give you scripture for it. Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we also have obtained our introduction or our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. By faith, we obtain our access into this grace. And that's what he's looking for. It's an operation of faith. That same salvation, that same faith that garnered you salvation will get you into this place. It is as simple as that. It's as simple as letting the Word of God have its perfect work in you. Have its perfect relationship with you. As it begins to have its relationship with you. God has created all of this so you can have a relationship. He sent Jesus so you can have access. The whole point of all of it has been to create a place and a way for us to come in. And it is simple as to say it, as the faith that you use to find salvation. We want to make it hard. We want to make it spooky. It's not. It's not. The biggest thing you're going to have to get over is yourself. That's the main thing. Because see, that's the obstacle that you run into. Whatever you have chosen to believe. Whatever you have picked up along the way. Sometimes, you know, good preachers have told us bad things. You know? Sometimes we've got our doctrine mixed up. But you know, it doesn't matter how good or bad our doctrine is. God will bring you through because He desires to have that companionship with you. He desires to have that interface with you. How many know of Charles Parham? Charles Parham was one of the founders of the Pentecostal movement because he was the man who was credited for bringing the gift of tongues to the forefront. Well, you know what? Charles Parham had a lot of mixed up doctrine. He really did. He was a great man. He was a great man who had a lot of things and he did some things amazingly, amazingly right. But he was far from perfect. And yet God used him to bring not a new truth, but an old truth back to life. To bring an old truth back to life. And so what he did, but see, when the thing was, he began to have this stirring about tongues, but you don't realize, what you don't know is the backstory that he began to have this stirring about it, and then he began to hear about it, little things here and little things there, and he began to add them up in his spirit. He spent a year doing that. Then he spent 6 months. traveling and pursuing, praying every day, all day, every day, for 6 months to get the baptism to, in the first place. In the first place. 6 months. He went out at the 6 o'clock hour. He didn't get to come out in the 11 o'clock hour. We get to come out in the 11 o'clock hour. And he didn't have all his doctrine right. It didn't matter. He was messed up in a lot of ways, but it didn't matter. God said, I have a man who's willing to show me some faith. And I'm going to step in and I'm going to use him in a mighty way. And he's changed generations of people. Generations of people. Because God took that faith and began to put it on display. He's going to do the same thing and say he's going to reach into each one of us. And it doesn't matter whether we're coming out at 6 in the morning, we're coming out at 5 in the afternoon. He's going to begin to reach into us, and he's going to set something that changes the dynamic of how church is done. In the same way that he used Charles Parham, this is something foundational that you are getting into here. And it's something that can change your life and the life of those who are around you. This is what we're looking for. This is what's alive. This is what's available. It's just a matter of stepping in by faith. Stepping in by faith. Recognizing God's purpose in our life. See, sometimes we get it all mixed up. We forget. We think that it's about me. In other words, we think that, and I'm not talking about in a braggadocious way. I'm talking about what Pastor was referring to earlier. Sometimes we get into condemnation. Well, you know, I didn't get up early enough today. I didn't pray enough last night. I stayed up and watched that TV show instead of going in and praying. It's whatever it is. See, the Lord wants to separate us from this thing of condemnation. He wants to separate us from this thing of this works mentality. This it's all about those efforts. Because why? We are justified by what? Faith. In the same way we're justified by faith, we're also justified into enter in. It is no different. It's no different. We're going to enter in by that same faith. There's some things that you can do to begin to make it simpler. One is as you come and as you're spending your time with the Lord, begin to keep saying audibly the word, the scripture. You don't have to pick a whole bunch of scripture. I've said that before. If you just have one or two scriptures, it's okay. Because God can use that. In John 16, the Lord says that he's never alone. Actually, turn there just real quick. I want to show you too. John 16. One point I want to make before I even go there. Verse 31. Probably some of the most significant four words. Do you now believe? Do you now believe? This is what he was saying. Now he's starting to come to a close. He's already issuing his first close. And his first close is, do you now believe? Because we're going to go on now to the prayer. In other words, he's closing. I've said all I needed to say to you. I've talked to you about the Holy Ghost. I've talked to you about what's to come. I've talked to you about who I really am. I've talked to you about the revelation of the Father. And now in the first closing, my question to you is, do you now believe? So you can just habitate that word right there. Lord, I choose to believe. I choose to accept what you've said. I choose to run with what you've said. As I run with what you said, I'm going to accept what you said, Lord, and I'm going to run with it. Because as I run with it, I'm going to change my life. When I see what the transformation that has happened in LaRue's life over this last 6 weeks, it's only been 6 weeks, when I see that transformation that has happened in his life, it makes me want to run. Because I can run, because if he can do it in him, he can do it in me. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed saying that a whole bunch. Hallelujah. But it's true. And the deal is that if I can do this, you can do this. Because remember how I said that we get to the point now where tongues is just, you know, just a quick thing? I mean, I've sat in my office and I've seen people receive tongues, just me speaking to them and them repeating a quick prayer. In less than 3 or 4 minutes, bam, it took him a year and 6 months. And now we can do it in under 3 minutes with somebody who just got born again, just saying a prayer. This is how it's going. We're going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. It's going to change for all of us. Because we're going to do it by faith. Because we're going to enter in, and because there's a corporate anointing. See, what began to happen was there was a corporate anointing that began to fall, and everywhere that Parham went, this corporate anointing went with him, and those things began to transfer, and that transferred to one young William Seymour, and William Seymour took this gift of the baptism of the Spirit, and he went to California, and he went and he set up this place called Azusa Street that became the foundation of revival that we measure every revival from. Because he learned to step into that corporate faith. Who's going to step into the corporate faith? Who's going to step into the corporate faith? Is it going to be you, Mark? Is it going to be you, Josh? Who's going to step into the corporate faith and go run with it to where God says to go and set forth a new standard for love and set forth a new standard for the church and set forth a new standard for how Christianity is done? Setting forth. Standing in faith. Standing in faith. I was going somewhere here. He said, behold, an hour is coming and already has for each of you scattered to his own home to leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. You can camp right there. I've entered in with just that one scripture. All you have to have is one scripture. If you just begin to camp and I'm not alone, the Father is with me. Mike, how would that feel to just know that growing up, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. The Father is with me. The Father loves me. The Father cares about me. The Father is looking after me. He's standing with me. He's walking with me. He's anointing me. He's sending me forth because the Father is with me. Now you can begin to recognize because the Father is with you. You know what? I don't need to worry about that condemnation anymore. I don't need to worry about the unworthiness anymore. I don't need to worry about the sadness or the depression anymore. I don't need to worry about my old habits of anger or fear anymore. Because why? Because the Father is with me. Those things that I grew up in have been rewritten. They've been rewritten because the Father is with me. The Father is in me. The Father has come and He's desiring to be with me, and I cannot be alone. I'm not forsaken. I've not been abandoned. I've not been separated out. I've been drawn in because the Father's with me. See, that's what He wants to show us. Jesus came to be a revelation of who the Father is. He came and what He began to do was demonstrate who the Father is. Everything that He did was a demonstration and an acknowledgement of who the Father is. It was intended as a revelation. Every action that we see is a reflection of what Father really wants. Go with me to Matthew 8. There's a beautiful testimony about the leper, and maybe I'll share that in another time. I've shared it previously. Verse 5. And when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. What do we see about the Father? What are we seeing about the Father? See, the Jews knew they were not to go and mingle with the heathen. They weren't to come under the roof of someone who was a Gentile. And yet Jesus said, I'll go. He reached past the law. He reached past the law. He reached past the tradition. He reached past this man's habit where he was. He came to him, and he came to him. He might have been living in a pigsty. We don't know, but the Lord said, I'm going to come to you. The Father is saying, through this, I will come to you, and it doesn't matter where you are, whether you are separated from me or you are with me, I will come to you if you'll let me. He wants us to know He's there. He wants you to know that He's desiring this fellowship, this communion, this relationship more than we do. He's looking for it, and He's giving you opportunities. He's giving you information, and He's wanting you to see just who He is, bringing you forth. Everything He does is to bring forth a revelation of the Father. When they let down the little pallet from the ceiling, LaRusso and Pastor said that earlier. We talked about that earlier. They let down that pallet and right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looked at it and basically said, your sins are forgiven. And they questioned him about it. And he asked him, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or take up your pallet and walk? What are we seeing about the Father? See, the Jews believed that the sin that this man had was a reflection of, I mean, that the sickness this man had was a reflection and a result of sin. And he's saying, it's no different to me. I want to have a relationship with you. And it doesn't matter whether it's because of sickness or whether it's because of sin or whether there's something else that's been going on, but I want to have a relationship with you, and it's all the same. So therefore, I'm going to banish it all in the name of my Son. I'm going to banish it all in the image of my Son. Sickness, disease, sin. It's all got to give way to love. It's all got to back up because love's on the scene. Love's being released. And my Son is love, but I'm love too. And I will be the one who comes and wipes all the sin out, all the sickness out. We can make this simple. If you can pray in tongues, one of the things you can do, one of the ways that helped me, and I'll just show this to you. When you pray in tongues, you can just, and you just follow with your finger until you come to the place where the tongues come from. And everybody will feel it in maybe a slightly different place. It's okay. Whatever works for you. And see, what that does is begin to identify in you where the Spirit is being released. And as you, where this channel of the Spirit is, that's the channel where God is going to speak to you. That's the channel where He's going to exchange with you. That's the channel where things are transformed. And see, that's the place of the Spirit that you can go to so you can identify. So as you're beginning to say the Scriptures, you identify where this place is. You hold your hand there. You hold an object there. We'll just make it a little bit of contact so that you're not thinking with your head, but you're moving in the Spirit. And as you're moving in the Spirit, you'll be able to release through the Spirit. Because if your consciousness is all about some operation in your head, it's really hard to shift into the Spirit. But when you make your consciousness, everything within you is about moving through the Spirit. Come from the heart. Come from the place of where the Spirit is living, where there's an exchange, a channel there He works with you. That's the thing that will begin to shed, to give you a way to have an openness to Him, to experience Him in that place. When we do, when you come in order to come into the rest, when you conquer coming into the rest, you have defeated the biggest parts of all. Because when you come into the rest, that means you've come through the door. You've already come through the throne of grace. All right, you come into a place of divine union. To me, the union and the rest are almost the same thing because that's the rest is where I find the harmony with God. But as you come into the rest, what you're identifying is that things are shifting now. When you come into the rest, what that means is you're closing off the gates to the enemy. When you come into the rest, now you've come in and you've begun to hold this place, and now all of a sudden the Lord can. If there's anything else that's in you, the Lord can begin to deal with it. But we're not dealing with it in our own strength anymore. We're dealing with it out of a place of peace. We're not crying out, God, please, God, please, God, please. It's like, Lord, here. It's very different. Oh, you want that? Okay. See, one of the things like the other day, what He began dealing with in me was simply this fear of rejection. You see, fear of rejection brings with it things like unworthiness, condemnation, guilt. Usually that guilt is a false guilt. But the enemy ain't going to tell you that. He's just going to keep on heaping it on. And as long as you're willing to stay there and play that game, He'll keep doing it. But you have to recognize these things that He's coming against you with are a lie, even if you did it. Because when you're in this place, you're no longer in His jurisdiction. And now you have to go and you have to live by the order of the new jurisdiction. You live by the order of what God said about you, no longer about what you said about you. God said that you're holy, without blame, beyond reproach. If you're holy and without blame, beyond reproach, you have every right to be there right with God. Right with God. See, this is about us living in His dominion now. When we come into rest, we come into His dominion. We come into His place. So the things that He's saying about us, no matter what we did on the outside, these things are now true. And your faith is attached to who your Savior is. What He did for you. Your faith is attached to what God is saying about you. Your faith is attached to who the Father is before you. And as you release in that place, you're releasing, you're giving Him an opportunity to now begin to speak to you. And all the things, see, all the things that we had faith in, reality is wherever your comfort, wherever it is that you retreat when the pressure's on, that's where your faith is. It's not always a good place, but when we look and we allow Him to begin to show us now who we are in His image, what His image looks like in us, now we can come into agreement with something that's a whole lot better than anything we had on the outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that's what God wants us to look at. You're not changed by looking at the old image. You're changed by looking at the new. And in the place of the rest, you are completely surrounded by the new image. You're completely surrounded by the new image because you're in a place of harmony and peace, a place of agreement with what He says. Oneness. Oneness is now happening. But you're still the avenger. You're still the enemy. By recognizing that I don't have to deal with this on the outside, I can come and jump into the inside. I can come and jump in with You, Lord. I don't have to deal with it. Lord, Your word says that in You is life, and that life is the light of men. That life is the light of men. And as it's the light of men, Lord, I walk in the light as You walk in the light, Lord, and we have fellowship together. And as we have fellowship together, Lord, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. From head to toe.